Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry. News, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Hey y'all, this is Gary Payton. Hey, MojoBreak.com, they just came up.
Shoot, came up.
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. It's going to be the Prospect Show. We're going to be joined by Donovan from CardboardTracker.com. We're going to look forward to the 2014 MLB season and talk a little prospects. So, prospects, that is. That's plural there. Joined by Dan. What's going on, man?
What's going on? That intro was above mediocre, unlike Michael Crabtree.
Oh, man. And Ryan, what's going on, buddy?
Well, I feel like I should start yelling like Richard Sherman did. You know, Aaron Andrews isn't here. If Aaron Andrews was here, I would probably yell too, honestly, to be quite honest with you.
So. Oh, man, there's so many YouTube videos out there, so many different variations of the Richard Sherman video. I seen one with like a WWE mixed in, like he's in the ring talking, and they mix him in with Mean Gene. There's just so many. And Good Morning America was talking about this one. I mean, this is Sherman just mania, Sherman mania right now, and his cards are taking off a little bit. You know, I mean, he's kind of, you know, as much, I'm a Niner fan and I kind of hated what he did, but I'm looking at it like, man, this guy kind of took the Miley Cyrus approach to marketing himself, where, you know, there's no such thing as bad press because, you know, everybody's talking about him. He's getting some endorsement deals and stuff like that. And he's a DB. When's the last time since Deion Sanders or even Dale Revis have we been talking about a DB this much? I mean, what's your guys' take?
I don't know, man. He definitely made an impression. I mean, he's been talking all year, though. It's just now he was on a huge like stage, so everybody was able to see it. But that's kind of the nature of a lot of the football players now. That can't surprise you. Like I was telling you, if Crabtree would have caught that ball, Crabtree probably would have done something similar to what Richard Sherman did. So,
but he didn't because he's a sorry wide receiver, so that's why he didn't catch it.
He didn't because he's a mediocre wide receiver, which I agree with. I was like, pretty sure that's dead on right
there.
Yeah.
He's
mediocre.
Well, I disagree, but that's here, neither here nor there, and that's my Homer talking. I mean, Ryan, what do you think? I mean, obviously people are pointing out that, you know, it's bad sportsmanship. We're teaching our kids the wrong thing. I mean, what did you take from all that and all the media buzz around it?
I think as long as, you know, he shouldn't have maybe taken a shot at Michael Crabtree. I could see how people could take issue. And when he went up there, even before the game was over, or when he made that play, he kind of ran over there. Like, I don't know if he slapped Crabtree on the butt, and then but then he like reached out and tried to shake his hand. I mean, that's just not happening in that moment. You know what, I'll go back to even before the season. I was at a press conference with Rashawn Woods and DeAndre Hopkins in Los Angeles. Somebody asked them what defensive back were they looking to light up, and they both said Richard Sherman. And Robert Woods of the Buffalo Bills even knew his numbers, his exact how many catches he had gotten off Richard Sherman, how many yards he had on Richard Sherman when Woods was at USC and Sherman was at Stanford. So this Sherman stuff goes way back with a lot of players. When this guy loses a step, like when he's not the best corner in the game, that's when this is all going to come back around on him. And I wouldn't want to be him at that point because he's going to get burnt, as they all do, except for maybe Deion. He's going to get burnt on some deep balls, probably against the Niners at some point in his career. So, you know, he's very notorious for doing this, apparently, for, you know, his whole career now. So I certainly wouldn't be doing it, but, you know, I'm not him. So hopefully he doesn't call into this show, because he's also notorious for doing that, for having to call you. If you talk crap to him, he'll call you up. So I'm sure he's busy right now with the Super Bowl. So,
well, that would put Sports Card Live on the map. I would take it. You know, he could say whatever he wants to say about us white boys here. But speaking of his cards, relating to the card market, his cards are on fire. The little cards that he does have, which there's 2013 playbook. They're numbered to 25 or less. There's a version to number to 10, version number to 5. The version the number to 5 just sold for 500. So, you know,
wow.
People are capitalizing. Yeah, it's crazy. There's a number to 10 from Totally Certified this year that sold for 337. And now this is with bids. So lots of money being spent on his cards, because there are very few and far between. This is a guy that got drafted in 2011 that actually didn't have one single card, not even a base card made of him in 2011, which is just absolutely nuts, because they have these walk-on guys like Matt McGloin and stuff, and Ryan Swope and stuff, that get everybody. It seemed like almost every rookie winds up being in one product or another, and they did not have a Richard Sherman. I don't know if he held out because maybe he wanted to get paid, you know, more for his autograph, and Panini's like, we're going to give you like $2. He's like, no. So I don't know what the logistics were on why he did not have a card in 2011, but he came out in 2012. They actually have a Playoff Contenders 2012 card, not an auto, of him, and everybody's saying that's his rookie card because it's his first card ever made. So that's the one that people are collecting, getting some in-person autos or grading the cracked ice versions. So those are the ones that people are doing. When it results, my opinion of him on the playing field, he's got, you know, 20 interceptions in 3 years, which is pretty phenomenal. That's 8 1 year, and he got 8 this year, so, and he led the league this year. But my thing is look what happened with Darrell Revis. Darrell Revis got a bunch of interceptions early, and then they stopped throwing to him because the defense was bad. Richard Sherman is part of his great team. You know, they got Earl Thomas around, and they got a great team, so they're kind of forced to throw to his side, so he's going to make plays. You put him on the Raiders, where there's not a whole lot of other talent in the secondary, they're just not going to throw to his side. He's not going to have any stats. So, I mean, DBs get interceptions when the defense is great, like this defense we're seeing here with Seattle.
Yeah, it's crazy. It shows that you can put value in products. Getting back to like the playbook that Sherman's in and the select, that you can put value in products and add value to it without having to throw tons and tons of rookie stuff in there.
Yeah.
I mean, even because I remember telling you before with the playbook, I'm like, yeah, Sherman has autos in here. That's crazy. I haven't seen any of his autos in anything else. And at that point, I think playbook had just come out. At that point, they were selling for a little bit over $100. And I was
right.
Like, look at that. I'm like, you can put value by putting guys who don't have autos or don't have the market flooded with autos.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's definitely something to look at for the card companies and try to find the Richard Shermans every year and try to add value into products with guys that were not rookie premier guys. Guys,
yeah,
where they didn't have them sign like 10,000, 30,000 stickers and you can get their autos for $5. Look
right
for those guys who you may have to pay a little bit more to get their auto, but it adds value to your product, meaning you'll be able to sell more and distributors won't have to hold on to it for a year and try to move it. So it's definitely something that the card company should take note of.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder why they never inked a deal with him. Maybe it's because he was a DB. I mean, they get pretty much every wide receiver running back, even third, fourth string, undrafted free agent running backs to sign. But maybe his asking price was too high, and they were like, you know what, he's a DB. They don't really tend to sell too much, so we're just not going to ink the deal. And because of that,
there's a lot of guys like that. I mean, look at Arian Foster. He didn't have any rookie autos anywhere, because he was a free agent. I don't think he had. I don't think he was in contenders.
Yeah.
I think I don't think he had an auto come out until like his second or third year in the league.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. I'll have to Google that. Get on the little eBay machine right now.
I think. Well, that's off the dome. I could be wrong, but.
Yeah, because he's one of the few running backs to put up the stats being like a undrafted guy. I think there's very few guys that have had that much success, and Arian Foster did with his tenure.
Alfred Morris, is another guy. I know he was in products not early in the year, but later on in the year he was in products.
Yeah, it looks like Arian Foster was in 2009 Sterling, but that was like it. So it looks like the Sterling cards are going for a pretty penny, as far as I can tell. He's got some press pass stuff and stuff like that, but it looks like they got Topps kind of got him in there, and Bowman Sterling has a deep checklist, and they probably just said, we'll throw him in there, and they benefited from that. But other than that, I don't really see too many rookie autos of him. So,
yeah.
You can get a 2013 finest, 2013 Topps Platinum die cut auto that has a rookie card logo on it of Arian Foster. So, I guess it's a rookie card, right? Topps put it on the card. No?
Yeah, why not?
So, we did this little challenge last week, and I wanted, if you guys didn't listen last week, we're going to preface it. We each picked one guy from the four remaining teams in the NFL, and we're doing a challenge on percentage of what we're going to sell the cards for. So go ahead and start with Dan. He picked one from each team. Go ahead and tell us who you bought and what price you bought it at and if you sold anything yet.
Oh, let's see. Let's start with my boy Doug Baldwin.
Nice.
I bought a 2011 contenders. 2011 contenders. For $8. Pretty good. Probably the best one I did so far. I got a Andre Caldwell. I think it was at a 2010 exquisite patch auto. Got that for $25.
Who?
Yeah. Andre Caldwell.
Never heard of him.
Super Bowl MVP.
Is he like the fifth receiver on the Broncos?
Hey, man, you never know with that team. Anybody can go off. Pull guys out from the stands and Manning will get it to him. It's all good.
Crazy, man. And so you got those two. What was your last two?
Quentin Patton, SP, photo variation auto out of this year's contenders. I think I got it for, it was a little bit over $20, I think it was like $22 or $23.
That's a steal. That was your best card you bought.
That was painful. I've never bought a Niner card in my life.
That was a hell of a deal right there. That's going to be your money maker. You may have to wait till next year, but that's going to be your money maker. Watch it. That's going to be like a $50 card.
I'm not happy with that purchase. I think I'm going to file a claim. I'm going to be like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I bought this card, but I just really, really hate the Niners. So can I get my money back? And an Aaron Dobson out of this year's contenders, also a photo variation, and that was, I think I bought that for $26.
Nice.
And that was an on card auto.
Did he play?
No. I don't want to talk about that.
Well, I think he was a game time decision, so you never know. I didn't do that great. Well, I got one guy that I could maybe profit on, but I kind of went heavy on the Niners. That never bet with your heart. I got a good deal. I could probably sell it and make my money back, but it might wind up ending up in the PC. It's a sorry receiver, Michael Crabtree. I got his 2009 NT RPA, numbered 8 of 10 two-color patch auto from NT for $80. So I thought that was a steal. A lot of them were selling for like $120, $130 at the time. So I got this guy, I talked him down to $80 and made the deal. So I got that.
Was it a buy it now or best offer?
Yeah, it was. It was a buy it now or best offer. I think I had it up for $105. I talked him down to $80, you know, because I'm a good wheel and dealer. Yeah, so I got it for $100, and I got it for $80. And
I offered him $6 for that card. That's why he didn't take it.
Yeah, it was close, but not as close as mine. So, yeah.
I want winners.
So I got that card. And what else did I get? I thought Seattle was going to lose, so I went with the Robert Turbin. So I'm kind of hoping that Lynch maybe, you know, breaks a leg or gets hurt or eats too many Skittles, and that Robert Turbin gets in. Maybe if he gets 70, 80 yards or something in the Super Bowl, maybe my $6 Robert Turbin or four. I think I paid $4, $6 shipping, and I can, you know, sell that for $12. Maybe I'll win the contest. And then I went with Julian Edelman, 2009 playoff contenders sticker auto. I bought that for $29. I got it on eBay for $45. So if somebody wants to buy that just to help me win, maybe I can trade them credit or something. I don't know. Is that against the rules?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Cheating.
And then I went with the Demaryius Thomas I got for $24. It was a 2010 playoff contenders Demaryius Thomas. He had a stellar game, so I might be able to make some money on that one. So we'll definitely try that and see what goes about that. But that's my four guys. Ryan, we lost Ryan on the feed, so I was going to go over his. He did some pretty cool stuff on Check Out My Cards, and I think he already sold one and doubled his money on one of them. So he might have already won. So we'll see when he comes back on the show, you know, what to think about that. But he did pretty well on a Richard Sherman card.
So real quick, just to go over what you purchased, you purchased an NT, like a National Treasures Crabtree, right?
Yep. Rookie National Treasures Crabtree.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and then your other one was, the Robert Turbin was a...
Topps Chrome, sorry. 2012 Topps Chrome on card auto, not numbered.
Okay. That, out of us two at least, I think that was the only Topps card, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, yeah.
Because I went three Panini cards and an Upper Deck.
Interesting.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, the Demaryius Thomas I got for $29. Robert Turbin, I just went on my eBay to verify, $5.99 on the Turbin, $29 on the Edelman, and basically $89.99 for the Michael Crabtree jersey auto to 10 from 2009 National Treasures. So it's really banking on the Niners winning on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think my best purchase was the Doug Baldwin. I don't know. He probably has a bunch of autos, especially the contenders autos, so... But getting it for $8, I should be able to at least sell it for $15 right now. The guy went over 100 yards.
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. So we'll see. We'll see who's the winner. I mean, I don't know what the stakes were on it. We gotta make some kind of crazy contest. Maybe have you sing Christina Aguilera again, because I know people are yearning for that. So we can have you do that. Ooh. On the radio again, you know, or something.
Yeah.
Are you just
assuming that I'm going to lose, or?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty sure I'm winning right now. Well, I haven't heard what Ryan has, but
yeah, I think Ryan actually won. I think he's gonna win. I think he win. I think he's a shoot.
Shoot, came up.
I think he got one of those. So, speaking of the Seahawks, Russell Wilson is in 2014 Bowman Baseball. What do you think? Is that a gimmick? What do you think about putting him in there? He's airbrushed in a Rangers uniform. What do you think of Topps doing that? I think it's kind of weird too.
I think it's weird. I don't know. Marketing. I mean, you can never fault them for trying to add value. I mean, those parallels of that card are going to go for a decent amount.
Yeah.
So why not? But why not do it with all the guys who get drafted into Major League Baseball that go on to play football, like go to college? They get drafted out of high school, and then they go to college and play football.
Well, I think they would have done it. It's the modern age. They're trying to look for, you know, as many card sets as they produce. They're trying to give, you know, bumps to what they're doing now. I think back then it was just, you know, they had the one or two sets and stuff like that. There just wasn't a place for it. But I think with as many sets as they have now, there's a place for it. That's probably why they're doing it.
Yeah. So. I mean, they're only going to be – there's only going to be base cards, probably variations, and nothing autoed, right?
As far as I can tell, it just looks like it's a base card to variation, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. Maybe they can have him auto. I mean, if he's part of the – I mean, they don't have – well, they have the NFL license too, so they may have some sticker autos they can throw on there or something, make a number to five. That would be kind of cool.
I think there's got to be a stipulation with that because it's a different – it's a different players union.
Yeah. Ryan, you back?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
We were talking about how you're probably going to be victorious in the card challenge. So we went over ours. We wanted to go over yours, and you're probably going to claim your trophy early. But let's see what you got.
I apologize about that. My Skype is messing up, so I'm actually on my phone. So, yeah, the card challenge, I bought a Richard Sherman 2013 Bowman on Check Out My Cards for 25 cents. I subsequently sold that a day or two later for 49 cents. So big, huge.
Nice.
Came up.
Excuse me, 39 cents. So 14 cents. I made 14 cents. And I bought some Frank Gores for 11 cents. And so the same guy that bought the Richard Sherman, it was like a package deal. So I ended up breaking even on the Frank Gore. So I bought a Frank Gore for 11 cents and sold it for 11 cents. And then I have a Monty Ball, I think, that I might have paid 12 cents for. And I have a Stephen Ridley 2012 Tops, I believe, for 9 cents. So there you go. Big money, spending huge money over here.
Well,
it.
I mean, I like your approach. I mean, and only on, you know, this isn't a, you know, we're not sponsored by these guys. We bring them up a lot. But, I mean, that's the only place where you can buy cards like that as a Check On My Cards, is be able to buy a card for that price and then turn around and sell it for, and you don't have to worry about shipping, which is cool. So that genius that you rent that route. When you told me, I'm like, God, I'm an idiot for not even thinking about that. Because if it's a percentage, that's the easiest way to make a great percentage is going on there. So,
well, that's going to be the best ROI for sure. Because I mean, Doug and myself bought cards that we're going to lose money on.
Yes.
On probably at least three of those guys. Three out of the four we're going to lose money on. So, yeah, I think actually Ryan's approach is going to win.
Well,
I even
downloaded my Check Out My Card stats. So just on the cards that I bought and resold on the site, never even physically ever had these cards. I'm up about $4,000 in 2 years. So,
wow.
You know, you can... I've bought and resold about 50,000 cards or so. So you're really just clicking buttons. You just have some money. You buy a bunch of cards, usually all at once. You try to buy somebody's entire portfolio. And then you just start buying and reselling cards. So I'm up to about almost $4,000 profit. I think it took about 10,000 in sales. So for 10,000 in sales, I made 14,000. So, you know, our gross 14,000 that I made.
4,000. Wow.
So, you know, it's just, for me, it's actually kind of fun. I mean, $4,000 in a couple of years isn't a lot of money, but it's fun. It's a lot of older cards. It's a lot of cheaper cards. So I'm not selling nice cards. You'd be amazed at how many people are just buying cheap cards, really inexpensive. That's what that website is really all about, is that, you know, set builder, collector, flipper. There's a lot of people who do the exact same thing that I do that probably make, if I've made $4,000, there are some guys on that site that have probably made, I don't know, maybe over six figures in profit.
Wow.
I don't send my cards in unless you have good cards and you're willing to kind of wait for them to sell. But if you just want to sit around, have fun, buy some cards, resell them, go for it. If you had a couple $1,000, you can get a really good deal on somebody's entire portfolio. You'll get $3,000-$4,000 or 3,000-4,000 cards, and the money will kind of trickle in. So I should have been cheap, though. I thought about, we could have put stipulations that it had to be autographed, or because I knew right away when you said it didn't have to be autographed, I was like, I'm just going to go buy some 10-cent cards and resell them in a week for double the money. You could do that all day on that site.
Yeah. No, that was, I don't know why I didn't think of it. I mean, you've checked out my cards, and I've bought some of those cards. I actually, when Bobby Rainey had a really good game for the Buccaneers, when Mike James went down and Doug Martin went down, I actually bought a few of his autos for like $3, and I sold them for $6 that night. And, you know, it's not a lot of money, but, you know, that's double your profit. So it's easy to do on that site, and there's a lot of cards like what you just mentioned that are on there that people are not going to sell on eBay, that they're going to send to there and take their chances. And a lot of little money moves around, but that little money can add up to a lot of money, like in your case. So good site to do that. If you ever have a garage full of singles, or, I mean, it's, I guess it can get costly to send all those in, but, you know, you could literally turn money from nothing, because you're not going to look at those base cards you have anyway, a lot, unless you're a set builder. So there's always people looking for those cards, and that's a great marketplace for it.
Well, think about the ROI that Ryan's had on there. Like, if you were to put $10,000 into a CD account and collect the interest, you would have got like a couple bucks. So,
right.
I mean, like getting $4,000 in 2 years, that's not bad. That's a hell of an investment.
The beauty of it is that I didn't even invest $10,000. That was just my sale. I've probably only put literally less than $1,000 on the site. I've just been able to get some really good deal. The best deal I ever got, I think I've mentioned it on the show, I got 10,000 cards for 9 cents each. They were all hockey cards. I sold every single card for probably about double my money within a year. So, I was just able to boom, boom, boom. I was selling like several thousand cards a month. And it's really, I mean, if you just tried to do that on eBay, that's a lot of work. Whereas literally for me, it's just, click a few buttons, check the ads, see if anybody has something for sale, you know, make some deals, price some cards, and that's about it.
Keep this conversation going. I think I'm getting a shipment here real quick. Sorry to be to butt in, but keep talking about some check out my cards talk, and I'll hop back on here in a second.
So
you know the angle that I've tried and going a little bit off topic, but going the eBay route, I always look for guys who do combined shipping. So if you buy like one card from them, every card after that, it's either going to be their free shipping, or if you get like an extra like 25 cents tacked on for each card. I always find myself buying one card that I like from somebody, and I'm like, you know what? They do like combined shipping, so I go through and see what they have. And if they have anything else that I think is a good deal, I'll start bidding on it. Like last night, I got five Joe Panic draft picks and prospects auto, or I got five of them for like $25 shipped. So
that's a good deal.
I mean, that's what I'm always, that's always the angle on eBay that I'm looking for, the guys who combine shipping. Because you can pick up like, you know, 10 to 12 cards and you may not actually hold on to them for your PC, but you're not paying $3 per card on shipping. So you're saving, I mean, you could be saving $30.
Right.
So that's always the angle that I've worked with eBay, is looking for those guys. Because you can score some killer deals.
Do you have some favorite sellers that you, like, go-to guys that you either check their inventory or...
I have a handful of guys that I will save in my, like, favorite sellers list. And those guys at any given time will have, like, 1,200 listings on eBay. And once I know that they do combined shipping, that if I buy one card from them, you better believe I'm just going to go through and see what else they have that's ending around the same time. And if I like it, and I think it's a good investment that I can end up selling it down the road, I'll buy it. And, I mean, that's how I get usually most of my cards. The combined shipping is, I mean, it's a huge percentage that you're saving.
Definitely. Yeah, I look for that too. And right now, I mean, the window is closing for prospecting. I mean, if you wanted to make some money on prospecting, these guys are going higher every day, and we're going to actually talk about them next with Donovan, who is on the line. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Donovan on from CardboardTracker.com. Donovan, what's going on?
You know, just dealing with a little snow out here, but everything else is pretty good. How about you guys?
Good. We're in tank tops over here, you know. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've heard that. Sorry to rub it in there. But, yeah, I've heard the weather's pretty bad. Actually, I was talking to Rich Layton actually has to break from his table because he can't – his kitchen table because he can't go to the shop because of the weather today. So Midwest or back where you guys are is experiencing some weather.
Yep. But, you know. That's what we get into living out here. So,
yeah, you don't have to deal with the earthquake. So, but let's go ahead and get into talking some prospects. I actually love the article you just wrote on Buxton because it was kind of what I was thinking about grading cards and stuff on how you could make a little bit of money grading cards. I mean, what do you see with Buxton's prices right now?
I mean, I feel they're pretty high for where they are, but you know, I mean. To me, it's, you know, how much money you're really going to make beyond where it's at now. I mean, I imagine it would go up if he comes up and is, you know, tearing it up. But, you know, it's got to be in that price range to deal with it. But, I mean, there is some good value if you get some of his lower stuff. Like his Sterling stuff isn't going for that much. It's, you know, it's like in the $40 range. I think that's probably around the cheaper end of what you can get of his stuff right now.
Right. Yeah, I did notice that. You know, you got a nice little article on the Bowman Sterling market, too, which has the kind of average prices of some of the base autos as well. Yeah, Buxton's ceiling, he's pretty high right now. He's the number one. I think he's pretty much unanimous, the number one prospect on a lot of people's sites. So you're not going to get him low, so to speak. But, you know, you can get – if you can speculate and you think it's going to be a 9.5, you could buy a raw ungraded for around, you know, 135, and then if it's a 9.5, you can, you know, make 50-60 bucks on it or more. So that's an avenue you can make on some of the high price guys. What are some of the guys that you think are going to make an impact in 2014 that are pretty low right now?
I mean it all kind of goes back to I kind of don't look at the prospects as much as I look at more of, I mean, not the prospects, but the, I look more at, like, the guys who kind of came up at the end of last year that everybody's kind of cooled off, you know, on. Everybody's, right now, everybody's hot on what's come out from the draft class, you know, 2013. So everybody's after, you know, Austin Meadows and Frazier and, you know, and then when Bryant comes out, I'm sure that's going to be crazy. But I think, for me, I kind of look at, you know, like, you know, like the Gosmans and the Profars and the, you know, the stuff that everybody's kind of really cooled on, you know, over the last year where it's, it, get in that lull where, you know, that's kind of old news. They were such a hot prospect for so long that I think people tend to forget that,
right.
You know, once they go through a full spring training with the team and get their proper work in, it might be a different story come April, and a lot of people are going to be caught sleeping, you know, like all a Trout or, you know, we've seen it in years past where, you know, or Harvey or, you know, they come up and I guess, you know, Zach Wheeler is a perfect example of it. I think on that Harvey kind of trajectory, everybody's, you know, his others are going for, you know, $30 to $40 and kind of cooled off a little bit. So it's,
yeah. I mean, what and comparing prospect autos, I think Bowman Sterling was a big step up this year compared to the prior years. I mean, last year was the first on-card prospect autos. This year, I love the design. I mean, what do you think in comparison to a Bowman draft to a Bowman Sterling auto? I mean, you can get one at significantly less. I mean, would you mind having that one in your collection as opposed to, you know, the $200 Buxton?
I don't mind, but, you know, like, it's weird. I feel the same way you do about Sterling this year, but I was at the show in New York this weekend, and a lot of people just can't stand it. They open the box, and, like, I couldn't, you know, guys who rip, like, tons of cases, they just, you know, they said, I opened a box, and I didn't like it, and I just stopped. I'm like, really? Like,
yeah.
The value, and amazingly, the prices on the boxes keep dropping, but I feel like, you know, dollar for dollar, your value was so great with those boxes versus, you know, you get a box, you get a jumbo box of draft, you know, you get three autos versus, you know, what, $50 more now and you're getting 18 autos.
Right. Yeah. I was actually just trying to do some quick math. I mean, it's like $50 an auto on the draft jumbos and it's like, let me do some quick math here. It's like $11 an auto for Sterling, and it's on card, and it's licensed, and it's like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I know a lot of these guys, it's their second, third, fourth, fifth autos, and they don't sell as well for the first, but it just seems like so much more bang for the buck, and I'm really shocked that it's down to 200 so retail, where in prior years, 2010, 2011, stuff's, you know, 300 and stays tight and goes up even more once spring training comes around. So it's really kind of amazing that, and with big guys in the set like Meadows and Cotto and, you know, chances at Puig and, you know, Urias and stuff like that. There's a lot of good guys in the set. It's just amazing to me that it's going down.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Like, but that's what I got as far as talking to people about it. They're like, yeah, I just don't like it this year, so I'm out. But I mean, all the breaks I've seen and all the stuff I've busted, it's been solid. I mean, I've gotten decent stuff out of it. Even on, like, bad boxes, you know, it's still, like, you know, half what my box was worth, maybe, you know, on a bad box. Where,
right, I mean, you're still going to get, like, a Tavares base or a Correa base in a box or a Buxton or a Meadows. You're getting one of those guys, usually, or a Frazier. I mean, there's about 10 to 15 guys that you can get that are good, and you're going to get probably one of those a box, even on a bad box.
Yeah, exactly. But have you seen that as far as from your side that people unhappy with it? Or, I mean, obviously you guys have done, I saw you've done a lot of those player breaks in terms of, you know, breaking out the players and stuff, and those seem to be doing pretty well, but I mean, it seems like breaking-wise it's doing okay, but it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really had a lot of complaints other than some people saying that there's some surface damages with the cards that they didn't expect, which is kind of normal with that product because it's, you know, on
right.
card. And the design, I think, this year lends itself more to surface scratching. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, one of the benefits for us is that it is going down, so we're able to price the breaks a little cheaper. So, you know, people like that. And, you know, it's really the only baseball product you can do a case of and get that many autos and, you know, less people remain hitless. So we've had some pretty good response with this year's Bowman Sterling.
That's great. So I guess you know, talking about like what kind of who to, you know, right now is definitely the prime time to be buying. I think more for the guys that, like I said, you know, they're kind of knocking on the door, but people have, you know, kind of forgotten about them. More, you know, more people are really going, you know, towards like Sano and Buxton and, you know, and Tavares has picked back up, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
You know, too. And Bogarts and, you know, it's, but there's still like that kind of there's still those guys who are maybe, you know, pushing into double A that everybody is, you know, this is a time kind of to get in on them a year before, you know, they're going to come up next year. It's, you know, everybody's sleeping on those guys because they want who's coming up and then they want who just came out. So there's that weird, you know, weird time in between. Even though some of that stuff doesn't come up very often, when it does, it usually seems to be pretty reasonable.
Now, when you're kind of looking at the overall rankings, do you think, like, bigger market teams take – I mean, because you look at a guy like Sonny Gray, which, you know, had a pretty good postseason for the A's last year, but his cards never really went up. And, I mean, if he was a guy that was pitching for the Dodgers or the Yankees, his stuff would have been probably double what it was. So when you're doing the rankings and you're seeing some of the prices, do you notice that too, that some of the smaller market teams that have great prospects aren't selling as well as, like, prospects for the Yankees?
No, yeah, you definitely see that. I mean, it's all based on who's really after stuff in the marketplace right now. So it definitely lends itself to where you see the Cubs and the Cardinals and the Red Sox, and then, you know, another to a degree the, you know, with all the Yankee stuff coming up, you know, they've bounced in there. But those are like the four top teams. And you know, as far as collecting wise, it's probably on somewhat on that same level too. It's tough. I mean, yeah, I'm an A's fan, so it's
yeah.
Like I've seen them come and go, and you know, I don't know how many. Like I think for me, like I think Matt Olson's like the last guy I'm collecting as an A's fan.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like, I wonder if Michael Choice is going to go up now that he's on the Rangers, you know what I mean? I actually have a I have a lot of Michael Choice. I'm a big fan of Michael Choice, and I know Ryan is too. And it's going to be interesting to see how his cards, you know, do. And he actually may have a chance of playing this year too, which will be interesting.
Right. Well, and his stuff, like, it was interesting when that happened because you could tell the A's fans who had his stuff. They dumped it like
right.
the second that happened. There was like a month. There was a month period there where a 2 week period where all Choice cards you haven't seen in a couple of years just start showing up online. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely got a shot to play there. And you know, is that are we going to regret this? coming down the pipeline. But I mean, organizationally, I always feel like they're great at drafting, pitching, and developing. You know, and finding talent through trading, but for whatever reason, I mean, you look like the last 10 years. I mean, positionally, who have we drafted that has been worth
right.
anything?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there always seems to be some touted prospects, but you got like the Chris Carters who, you know, really hasn't amounted enough, and then they got the Michael Taylor from the trade from the Phillies, and you know, he actually
Grant
I remember Green. In 2000. Grant Green, who's now on the Angels. Yeah, Grant Green was a hot prospect. And, I mean, I know Ryan sees these guys come through Stockton. So, you know, I mean, single-A ball over there. And it's crazy. So, I mean, it makes me wonder that they ranked – I'm using Roto Analysis as far as the top 125 prospects. And they have, like, Jonathan Gray ranked, like, 14th. And I'm wondering – I mean, that's another kind of small market team, Colorado – and you wonder if he's ever going to live up to the potential of being a pitcher, pitching in Colorado. Is he a guy that's, like, worth investing in? I know he's got a lot of raw talent, but, you know, and he was drafted early. But it just seems like since he pitches for Colorado, it's not a guy you want to invest in. So it's kind of tricky.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure you could count on one hand how many Colorado pitchers you would ever want on your team. I mean, it's, you know, you've seen it, like, past years, like Pomeranz and – you know, this is going to be the guy. This is going to be the guy. And, you know, maybe, you know, it's someone's asking me about Shelby Miller or Oscar Tavares in the chat. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yes, I asked that question.
Trevor.
What do you think about those guys? I really like Shelby Miller.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's one of those deals where he, you know, Milwaukee came up and, you know, was just amazing down the stretch, but, you know, they – innings-wise, Miller just, you know, had to sit. So, and Tavares is definitely – you've definitely seen it. Everybody's back on Tavares' bandwagon as far as getting his stuff. I, you know, over the weekend, there was a lot of people going after his stuff at the show. Like anything that was up there, they were pretty much looking for. So it's interesting to see where, you know, if you were kind of getting him over the summer and the fall, you probably got a good deal on him. Whereas
right.
Now it's ticking back up.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, JP3's in our chat, and he said, is there a way to prospect Cuban and Japanese players? You could probably ask Brian Gray on that one from Leaf. He's great at prospecting guys early, like Puig and the guy from the White Sox he had early. It was one of the first guys to do it. But yeah, that is a good question. I mean, how would you prospect Cuban and Japanese players before they get called over to the, you know, signed by the MLB?
I think Japanese players are easy because, I mean, they're usually bound by, if you sign in Japan, you're stuck there for 10 years unless they post you. So, you know, like you knew Darvish was coming like 3 years before he came. You know, you knew, you know, Tanaka has been, you know, talked about for a couple of years now. So you kind of have a, you know, I don't know, it's more pitching it seems that's coming out of there versus, you know, a Matsui or a Suzuki. I mean, you know, it's rare, I think, positionally to get guys, but they just lock them up and they burn them out. I mean, over there, they, you know, it's really, if you can get, at least with Tanaka's case, he's only 25 and you can, you know, at least there should be some wear left there, but, you know, it's interesting. And I think just Brian Gray just shows up with a boat and says, Here's some cards. Hop on.
Yeah, and giving those guys just a couple dollars an auto, I'm sure it's like a lot of money to them, you know, and especially out there, sometimes those guys are struggling, and all they do is play baseball and hope for the chance. So, you know, what's interesting, and once again, we're talking to Donovan for the website's cardboardtracker.com. Which is a great site. If you look at all four major sports, you can see what's trending on eBay, what's kind of the average prices. It's a really good tool if you're thinking about prospecting, maybe picking a guy lower on the list. But what's interesting about the baseball list, as we're talking about prospects, is I'm comparing this list to the, you know, everybody's top 100, top 125, and it's pretty close. So it seems like buyers on eBay are, you know, look at these lists, and the rankings are almost parallel. So it's a very interesting thing in the card market. Now you have guys like, you know, Cole Stewart that are getting their first autos and stuff like that are kind of getting some bumps because of collectors. But for the most part, Byron Buxton's number one, Frazier's two, Correa, Chris Bryant, those guys are all in the top 10 on the prospect list as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, really, I mean, the top 50 are pretty well established. And a lot of it's, you know, based on what's in the marketplace. So, it kind of lends itself to, if you don't have a card, you know, you're going to be way down on the list until there's actually something in the marketplace. So it's kind of nice that way. You can see, you know, when a set comes out, wow, this guy jumped up, you know, 800 places into the top 100, and maybe I need to know about why that is. So it's, you know, it's always really interesting when product comes out to see the jump on certain players. Which I think right now it'll probably cool off until, you know, the Bowman stuff comes out in May. But I'm not too sure that there's anything prospect-wise beyond right now that's coming out, I believe. Right?
just Elite that came out like a week or so or two ago, but which is, I don't think there was really any. I mean, there's some late round guys that are in there that might be their first autos, but I don't think there's been anybody that's, you know, you've got your Chris Bryant's, your Abreu's in there, which have already been in other sets. But have you noticed anybody, like, just in the last week or so that have really kind of jumped as far as a prospect is concerned?
I mean, it's more of the product. You know, like Polanco stuff, you know, he finally got a Sterling card. I think he's got – his stuff has gone up a lot. You know, I mean, he went – I'm looking at the 30-day now. He went from ranked 825 – you know, 30 days ago to ranked 11th, you know, since like Sterling's come out. So
wow.
Sterling and Elite, you know, so he didn't have anything. And Trinity, I mean, Trinity, it's crazy. Trinity's just, you know, hit a home run with that product. That's for sure. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what your guys' thoughts on that. It's pretty,
I agree with you
100%. Phenomenal.
Shameless plug, we're doing a case break Trinity tomorrow. But yeah, we really enjoy the product. I think what he did with the patches and just the content in general is pretty amazing. And it's gone up and it's dried up. So, I mean, that's a good sign of a great product. And, you know, without a license and just using prospects, it's pretty insane what he was able to do with that product.
Yeah, I mean, he hit the main things people want, you know, rarity, you know, nice colored patches, which in baseball is pretty unheard of. You know, I think everybody's sick of seeing a jersey swatch. You know, how many of those can you? I know it's tough to get patches, you know, in general, but at least he's cutting everything up right. You know, doing the tags, and some of those cards are just beautiful. I mean, I got to see a fair amount of them this weekend. You know, from stuff that people pulled, and you know, a lot of people were actually grading stuff too.
Right, and, you know, it is event-worn, so he basically took a page out of what the NFL was doing, you know, having these guys
right.
have, like, rookie premieres, and it's event-worn because I have seen some posts on Blowout and stuff like that going, how did you get Archie Bradley to have a Diamondback jersey when he hasn't even, you know, worn a jersey? So he's basically having these guys sit down and sign, which, I mean, you could say, oh, it's not game views, but there's no card in the market like that, so it's a really cool collectible, and it takes a while for Topps to put any kind of those patches on prospects. So there really was a need to be filled there, and he filled it, and I think
right.
it's an amazing product.
Well, I think a lot of those guys, they do wear their regular jerseys when they're, like, in, like, extended spring training or, you know, and, like, I believe in the fall league, too. So it's not completely unheard of, but it's, you know, for him, it's probably a cost thing. It would just be easier just to get a bunch of replicas and and cut them up after they wear them for 10 seconds or whatever the constitute an event, right?
Exactly. I think he just has them. I mean, it's a 250 case print run, so he probably only had them wear two or three jerseys each. And, you know, so while they were signing and it was, you know, in and out, and it was probably like the easiest signing they've ever done for any company, you know, because, you know, sit down for Tops and they got to sign, you know, 5 to 10,000. So it was probably in and out with those. And so, yeah, it's a nice little set. If you guys haven't seen Leaf Trinity Baseball, I recommend watching some breaks on YouTube or getting in a break like ours tomorrow. So it's a pretty good little product, and it's got all the good names you want. Chris Bryant, Frazier, Tavares, Buxton, and more. So it's a good set.
That stuff's pretty much gone, right? I mean, it's probably not going to, you know, probably going to find much of it unless someone's sitting on it.
Right, yeah, we had to, I think there was one guy selling it on our wholesale network, and we had to pay a pretty premium to get it. So, yeah, it's probably going to be the last case we get for, you know, till next year. So,
right, yeah.
So, Ryan, did you guys have any questions about prospects or anything that you guys have been seeing lately on the prospect market? I feel like I'm just the only one talking here, so.
You know what I'm curious about is Donovan's opinion on, you know, when you grade some of these prospect cards, and maybe what cards should collectors be looking for to possibly grade that if they get a good score, it'll elevate it in value? And does it have to be a 9.5 or do not, you know what I'm saying, to really, you know, does it have to be a BGS 9.5 to really make a difference in kind of what you're seeing in terms of price?
I think it does. I mean, in stuff that I've seen, when you look at a 9, you know, a lot of times and you compare it to a raw, like you're almost better off cracking it out of the case and selling it as a raw to somebody if it got a 9, you know, and you see it time and time again. And that's always the thing, too, that, you know, I guess I learned, too. I think when we were at the National talking to people there that they'll just keep regrading. Like, they'll just crack them out and resubmit them. There's nothing there to... You would think that if you had a serial numbered card, you went to try to regrade it, you couldn't get a new grade for it. But as long as you're paying the money, they don't care, I guess. Have you guys ever heard that?
Yeah, and actually I've heard of some guys, I've never tried it because I just, you know, I don't want to ever touch the card like that. But I've heard that people actually take, in regards to like surface scratching, I've actually heard that people, if they get a bad surface grade, what they'll do is they'll crack out the card, they'll go get a microfiber type of cloth, and they'll go around the card with it, and then they'll regrade it, and they'll get like a 9.5. So, I mean, because sometimes out of the pack, they have these little smudges and fingerprints, or maybe if somebody touched it when they were putting it in, it gets a fingerprint and they give it a bad surface grade. So I've heard a lot of people crack them out and, you know, clean them up, so to speak. But I'd be, you know, I don't ever want to touch. I mean, could you imagine handling like a $1,000 Bryce Harper and, you know, maybe it pressed down too hard and you just crease the entire card and you're just done, son. You know, it's just completely ruined. I wouldn't want to go that route, but I personally have a pretty good eyeball when it comes to cards. I think I've gotten a few 8.5s, which are bad, but my prospects, I've gotten pretty lucky on getting 9.5s on my auto prospect cards when I grade them.
Yeah, I mean, it seems usually the success, you know, that's what you're trying to hit. So as long as it looks, your center is good, your edges are good, then, you know, usually the surface is where you get dinged. You're going to get dinged, but...
I was really disappointed. I had this Bryce Harper that I pack-pulled for myself. It was a 2011 Bowman Platinum Bryce Harper Green Paralleled Auto, number to $399, I think. And it was actually the best-looking auto I've seen of him. It was right in the white, and I've seen everybody else getting like a 9 grade because the auto was running off and everything, and this was actually perfect in the space. And I got a 9.59. I got a 9 auto, and I was pissed. And the only thing I could think of was that the pen like ran out of ink a little bit on part of his B. Like it wasn't like completely sharp. That's the only thing I could think of was why they would grade it back. Cause it was like literally one of the best looking Bryce Harper autos I've seen. Cause he gets a little sloppy with his BH, and this one was just a clean looking B and an H, and it looked perfect. And I just couldn't believe I didn't get a 10 on the auto grade. I was pissed.
I was actually talking to somebody about, like, the auto versus the regular grade, and, like, do you know, does it make that much of a difference between, you know, having a 9.5, like you're saying, a 9.5 with a 9 auto, you know, do they value, you know, what's the value of that going? Like, you get a 10, but you possibly get a 10 at the auto, that...
right. Yeah, I've heard some people saying the autos are important. I've heard some people not. Actually, I believe... Colin, your brother, had a on sports on his show, on his podcast, Sports Card Radio podcast. He was talking about that too, and I think some collector was saying that sometimes the auto grade is really important. Now, I've also heard that, you know, when people get 9.5s, they like to get all the subs be 9.5s as well. Like if there's 1.9, they don't like to collect. They want to have 10s or 9.5s on all four of their subgrades. So I've heard that's kind of important as well to some collectors. So, I mean, it's all preference.
It's all in what you want and what you're looking for, I guess. But it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the most, you know, fun parts about this hobby is prospecting, because it's, you know, you can't really do it with any other sport. I mean, you can't really buy a guy and wait that long and see if he, you know, makes you money or whatever, or gets called up, and you have that, you know, if you were the guy that got the 2009 Bowman Draft Trout, you know, you got it, you know, in a pack and you held on to it and you've seen it turn into a $200, $300, $400, $500 card. I mean, it's just, you can't experience that with anything in this card market. And that's why I think it's just really exciting.
Right. No, definitely. But you just got to have patience. That's the biggest thing.
Very much so, very much so. Oh, I actually PC a guy, and if anybody out there has his Super Fractor, because that's the only one I don't have, it's 2010, it's Ryan Burr, and he's actually in Arizona right now. He was in 2010 Bowman. I actually pulled a Bowman draft. I pulled his USA gold, and then I just started looking for all the colors I wound up getting. I have two reds right now. I have two golds, two oranges, and I just can't find the Super Fractor anywhere. And I've graded them all, and they're all 9.5s. So I've got like 10 or so of his autos, all the colors. And, you know, I'm waiting. You know, he was like 15 then, and now he's like 18 or whatever. And he's, you know, he's actually playing for the USA again, and he's a big closer right now. They're the closer role in his second year in college, and he's got like 100-mile-an-hour stuff. So it's exciting just to, you know, if I'm got nothing to do and I just look him up and see how he's doing, see, maybe I can sell these cards for, you know, quadruple what I paid for or even more when he comes out, he gets drafted in the first round or something.
Right. Well, that's good. A lot of times they convert the closers out of college too. So it's not even, you know, just, you know, I've seen that quite a lot where guys that you think are, you know, might just translate to control closers too. They figure something out with them, and they got another pitch and they're a starter. So, I mean, that's
right. Right. I think he's still really young, and that's why he's a closer, and he's there. They don't want to use him up right away. I think that, but I think he was like, I don't think he's given up a run in like, it's like a crazy amount of innings, and he's got like a high strikeout ratio and stuff like that. So he's got a lot of promise, and he's going to a good baseball school at Arizona State. So, you know, just keep an eye on him. So that's what the fun is about this stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Lincecum was a closer in college.
He was.
And then he converted to a starter when he got called up to the Giants. So I mean that's definitely a possibility. They may not be grooming him to be a closer. When he gets drafted, he could be a starter.
Definitely. And he's like 6'6" or something. He's a big boy, so he's got the pitcher's frame. So.
And there's a guy too on Tampa Bay, Jesse Hahn. He was a closer through, you know, at Virginia Tech, and then, you know, he blew his arm out, and then they drafted him, and they had Tommy John, and came back, and he's even throwing, you know, he's throwing like, you know, mid to high 90s, and he's, you know, throwing even harder now, and they converted him over to a starter. But funny, like this year, he's not on any of these lists, like, but he's torn it up, you know, when he's been in the minors this year, and then they added him to the roster as a Rule 5. So I it's kind of funny how someone like that would slip under the radar of, I mean,
right.
It's worth something, you're going to add him to your roster, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. Some of the guys that I kind of looked at and have been looking at and buying for the last couple weeks is one of the guys, and he's not really under the radar, but surprisingly he's not selling as well as I thought, Nick Castellanos for the Tigers. Guys, kid's got a lot of power. He's hit some home runs at Double-A, Triple-A. Had 18 at-bats last year. He got called up, got a little cup of coffee, batted .274 and those 18 at-bats. And with the trade that happened, they're going to move Miguel Cabrera over to first base. So they were grooming him to be an outfielder in his original position as third base. So now they're putting him back at third base. He may have a chance to get called up right at the beginning of the season, make the roster, make an impact, and he's got power capabilities. So if he comes out swinging and you can get his autos for 24 on a base auto from Bowman Draft, the first auto, that's a guy I like. So if you're thinking about prospecting, and he's actually ranked pretty high considering he's, I think he's the third baseman prospect right now out of all of them. I think he's in the top 50 too. So he's third. It's Miguel Sano, Chris Bryant, and then Nick Castellanos, according to MLB.com. Everybody has their own opinions, but he's third right now. And the two guys ahead of him are a lot higher in price. So.
Yeah, that's another perfect example. You know, maybe he'll be comfortable with his own position, and that's what I'm thinking with Profar this year. You know, he's going to be able to play with you know, since they made that trade. I mean, same deal. They both kind of benefited from that trade, which is funny.
That's another guy. I'm glad you mentioned that. Profar is going to get the opportunity, and he looked pretty good. And his cards aren't too cheap, and they're not too expensive right now, so it might be a time to grab him up too.
Yeah, I mean, for someone who was a top 10 prospect for 3 years running, his stuff is not where, not where it was last year at this time. Let's say.
Yeah,
I mean, he was a top prospect last year at this time.
Yeah, he was, and he had a couple cards of 2010, but then he did come on strong. He was like almost in every Topps product this year, so he's got a lot of stuff out there. And I believe he was in 2011 Bowman, or it could have been 12. Was his first? That's the one you're gonna wanna collect, is that one, the on card Bowman, the first Bowman auto. So another guy I like is Gausman. I think you mentioned him earlier. He's like top.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 10th, and looks like his autos are going for like $24. Looks like he's averaging like a strikeout an inning. And you know, Orioles are a decent market team, so.
Those Chromes are actually left. I think they're going like 10 to 12, which is crazy. you can get this Chrome base auto for $10 to $12 right now, and even his All American cards are, I think, going 20 to 25. It's, you know, him and Bundy. You know, I think Bundy's kind of trending a little more because everybody's realizing he's coming back, but and everybody's sleeping on him. And all, another one I would mention too is Zanino from Seattle. I mean, he was the only position player from the 2012 draft to play last year. So
right
to make it to the majors. I mean, you know, they had holes and they needed to, you know, bring him up early, but you know if he's what he was advertised to be, everybody's pretty much fallen off on his stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's weird. The prospects, like they build up right before they get called up, and then they get called up and they go down right away. It's like you gotta find that threshold. If you're selling, if you don't want to hold on to them, you're selling. You know, you got to find that right time. Because I have a Zunino Gold and I have a Zunino Refractor out. I just held on to him because I was like, oh man, I'm, you know, he went way down. I kind of missed the boat. But yeah, I think he was like a 250 hitter last year, and that was his first year. So I think he's got a lot of potential there too. So, but yeah, it's crazy prospecting. So I can't wait till baseball. Now that my Niners are out, I can't wait till baseball season. Spring training can't come soon enough. And, you know, looking forward to it.
I hear you. Now, I'll take blame on that Niners loss because I usually stay home and watch the game, and I went out to a bar, which was a bad idea. So.
I hear you. I'm so superstitious. I actually, and I know this is going to be too much information, but I only had blue underwear, and I know you guys are like, I don't want to hear this, but I'm like, I can't wear blue underwear, and I went through my drawer, and all I had was blue underwear, and I'm like, oh, my God, so I'm blaming it on my underwear why we lost, so I think it's maybe your bar thing and my underwear together, it just doesn't make a good success, so.
Nice.
Yeah, yep. We like that. So, and next time your team's in the playoffs, don't wear the color of the opposing team's underwear. You're going to lose every time. I'm just telling you guys that. So,
too bad they didn't come out with the neon green jerseys. You'd have been golden.
I know, man. They didn't. Golden.
Another guy, real quick, Donovan. I don't know where he's at in your rankings, but David Dahl from Colorado. That guy's got to get pretty close to being called up at some point.
And that's just one of those. He's one of those. You know, he's in Colorado.
Yeah, but he's in Colorado. He's got power. You got to figure he would put up numbers playing in Colorado.
Oh, definitely.
But he's definitely one of the guys that I've been keeping a lookout. I'm trying to scoop up some of his cards. And Doug already said Castellanos. I think that guy is going to be, I mean, especially for the price he can get his stuff at right now, because he may be the starting third baseman when the season starts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at his, he's still fairly young. He's going to be 20 this year, it looks like. So, but when he was 18 in rookie ball, he hit .379. This is Dahl we're talking about. And he had 9 home runs. So, I mean, pretty good stats. I don't know what happened last year, if he got hurt, because he only played 10 games. I don't remember hearing if he must have gotten hurt or something happened. So he batted .275 of those 10 games, and that was in low A. So, yeah, he may still be a couple years away, but I did like, you know, hearing about him in the draft and pre-draft and stuff. He had a lot of talent, so maybe still a little bit raw.
Well, even Arenado there, too. Like, you know, everybody's falling off on him, too. Like, you know, he could turn around and have one of those, you know, Carlos Gonzalez seasons and all that stuff off of the races.
I always love looking at guys coming from the Colorado farm system, especially if, I mean, obviously if they're power hitters. I mean, that is the place you basically want to hit. There and Arizona as well.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Goldschmidt. I mean, as soon as that guy got called up, he was lights out. No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I would say Arizona's, and they're stacked. Like, there's a guy, kind of like one of my little one of the guys I like a lot is Jake Lamb. Like, you know, he's had some injury things, but when he's been there, when he's played, he's hit for power, and kind of, you know, he's on the lower end of like a lot of these lists, but he's one, you know, they've got so many guys in their system, it's ridiculous.
Yes, there's also a Matt Davidson, who I think is a pretty highly touted prospect. I don't know if he was last year's draft
traded.
Or the year before.
I think he got traded, didn't he, to the White Sox or something? Or
did he?
Oh, really?
Really, pitcher Reed or something? Addison Reed? Am I tripping?
Matt Davidson, I'm looking him up. I mean, Baseball Reference still has him on Arizona, but they've been wrong before.
I thought he got traded.
He's a third baseman and pinch hitter.
Yeah, he did. He did.
What year was he drafted in?
He was drafted in 2009.
Okay, so he's been in the system for a little while.
But what's crazy is he's still. I've never seen this on a prospect page. It says third baseman and pinch hitter.
There you go. Well, there you go.
So I've never heard about that. You know.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
So. Yeah, he's a pinch hitter. It could be the next Matt Stairs, man.
That's the new pinch hitter. It's the new marketing efficiency. Right?
Matt Stairs was a beast. Hall of Famer.
Really?
Bold.
That's a bold statement.
That was a joke.
Biggio can't get in, but Matt Stairs will let him in. Why not?
So.
What are you guys' feelings on Hamilton this year?
Billy, that's your boy, Ryan. What do you think about Billy this year?
kind of like what everybody else says. If he can get to first base, he'll be fine. I don't think he's going to have too much problem with the outfield. I always thought when I saw him, this is actually going back a couple years ago, that he needed to really learn how to bunt, because that would then bring in the third baseman and the first baseman, and that would increase his chances of hitting a ball by one of those guys. So I always thought if he really became a really good bunter, it would open up his entire game, because he could bunt for a hit or at least bring those guys in so that it increased his chances of hitting for a base hit. So I think he's going to have a long career either way, because he's going to be, at the very least, a glorified pinch hitter. So he's very thin. His wrists and his arms and his legs are all very thin. You get eaten up by big league fastballs. Like if you don't have the strength to really kind of get around on a ball or hit a ball hard. So you can do that in the minor leagues. But then once you get to the big leagues, it's something totally different. So, hey, if
well,
he gets 60, you know, and get on base, he'll fill 50 bases.
I was looking at his stats last year, and I thought he played more games than 13. I guess he only played 13 games. Seems like it was a lot longer than that. But he only had 22 plate appearances, and he had 7 hits. So, I know it's a small snapshot, but he batted .368, and he was 13 stolen bases. So he got on basically was 7 hits, and then he got walked twice. He had 13 stolen bases out of that. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
No, well, I think they pinch run him a ton. Like, there was every game, it was like the end of the game, he'd be as a pinch runner.
I was going to say, that's a pretty amazing stat. I didn't even take it into account how many times he was pinch run. But, yeah, I mean, .368, I mean, I know he struggled in minors, and that was always his biggest thing. But, you know, at the major league level in 19 at-bats, he got 7 hits. 2 of them were doubles, so could be a chance that maybe he came around. Maybe somebody's been working with him.
Like you were saying, if he went to the bunt or slap bunt triples would be amazing, you know?
Slap bunt triple, yes. He might be the only guy capable of that. You know, he might be the only guy capable. When I saw him, he was hitting, like, in the Cal League, he was hitting close to 400. And, you know, these idiot pitchers would walk him, and literally it was boom, boom, he'd be on third. So I think he set the record with 155 steals or something between single A and double A that year. Wow. So he's exciting. It's just you know, he could still be another year away. You know, I like the Jake Lamb call out. He was one of the actually better. It was kind of a down year for the Cal League, but Jake Lamb for the Diamondbacks for the Rawhide team was a good player. Saw him a couple times, and very strong kid. Mack Williamson on the San Jose Giants is a kind of in the same mold, very athletic, strong type of player. So I'd like to, and I bet his autographs are cheap. Like, what is a Bowman autograph of Jake Lamb cost?
You can get a gold of the 50 for 40. Yeah, you can get a base for like $8.
And I've been collecting a lot of his, and the problem with all of his stuff, it's all off-centered. So, like, if you get something centered, you know, it'd be huge because everything is off-center. At least in a lot of the stuff I've seen, it's all been, you know, off. For whatever reason, you could think one of the colors they would have got it right or something, but...
That's crazy. Yeah, I'm actually looking at Mack Williamson's cards, too, and he's a catcher, right, Ryan?
He plays outfield. This is going to be a big year for him. I mean, it's one thing to tear up the Cal League. It's a whole other thing to go to Double-A and do it in Richmond and then do it in Triple-A. So, I mean, we've seen what Gary Brown did at the Cal League, and then, he went to Richmond and did nothing. So, or just about every Giants prospect does that. They reach Double-A and it ends for them. So, but he is very athletic looking. He has that athletic look to him, Mack Williamson. So good outfielder. Could be a good player. So we'll
see. I can't believe Gary Brown. I mean, I kind of went all in on him. I've got a lot of his autos, and it's just, I mean, he's not even in the top 10 anymore for the Giants organization. It's pretty sad.
I think this is a make or break year for Gary Brown. If he doesn't put it together this year, I don't know if it's going to happen for him.
Brandon Belt. I actually liked how Brandon Belt ended the season last year, and I've got a few of his cards. I'm pretty stoked about Brandon Belt. It's just he's so inconsistent. You know, he'll go on a month tear hitting 400, and then the next month he'll hit like 170. So it's like if he can work on his consistency, I think he's a stud.
When Belt slumps, man, that guy looks like he goes into the batter's box. It's like he's never been in there before. When that guy goes bad, he goes real bad. So, I don't know. He's definitely capable of hitting 280, 290 and hitting like 20, 25 home runs. He's capable of doing that. But it just seems like watching Brandon Belt through a whole season, it's just a roller coaster.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I'm excited, though, for the season coming up. We got the Double-A team for the Twins is in my neck of the woods, so I'm hoping Buxton is there for like a week or two before they play.
Yeah.
so I can get a chance to see him. But I got to see Sano last year, so that was good.
Nice.
What does he look like in person? I mean, he's ranked really high.
He's huge.
Yeah.
he's a big guy.
He was in a John. I don't know if you guys seen this. I found it on Netflix a while back, and it was he was in a movie with John Leguizamo. John Leguizamo went over there, and he was like watching prospects over there and how they make it, how they go through the system over there. Which he's in Dominican Republic, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it Dominican Republic?
Dominican Republic.
Did you watch the same thing?
Yeah, no, that was I would recommend that to anybody. That story is crazy with the pirates and how they – is that what you're talking about? Where
the pirates are
basically putting out disinformation so they could sign them because they didn't want to – because, the A's blew up the market the year before with Iona. so they didn't want to pay $4 million for his bonus, and then they were just trying to say that he was older than he was, and it was crazy. Doing all the tests that they made them do and, trying to find any inconsistency they could.
The stuff behind the scenes with baseball prospects is crazy, and that kind of showed in that film. It's a pretty good little film. And John Leguizamo is kind of funny sometimes, so it adds a little humor to it as well. So. But, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the season. I mean, the Giants, I'm just looking at the Giants just to see if Gary Brown snuck in the top 10, and he didn't. It's Kyle Crick. Number one's Kyle Crick. An interesting guy that's not in a lot of products, Christian Arroyo, who actually just got drafted this year, and he hasn't been in anything. He hasn't even been in elite. None of the Bowman drafts. I mean, we're assuming he's going to be in Bowman coming up, but that there's going to be a kind of a need for him. So he's going to probably spike once his auto comes out in a Bowman product because he's pretty highly touted. He was a USA guy, and he's a shortstop. So maybe a guy to collect if you get him out of a pack sell right away too as well.
Yeah, there's a Royals pitcher that they went all in like the sandwich run. Manea, I think it is, and some kind of hip injury, I think, and that's why everybody kind of cooled off on him. But he was supposed to be a top five talent, but they paid more for him than I think they paid like Dozier to sign him. But no, he's an interesting one, and I think the only stuff he's in is like in a week. Like that's the only stuff I've seen.
Yeah, he seems to be a lot of guy. Well, actually, we have a pretty in our breaks. We have a lot of Kansas City guys, so I've heard about him a lot. But yeah, he's still pretty cheap right now, so it's a good guy you can prospect.
Yeah, I mean, and hopefully he ends up being part of. You know, it'll be interesting to see who's going to be on that checklist come May. You know, speculating which players they haven't. You know, they've ignored in terms of. I mean, they need Bryant and. Appel to sell that stuff, but you know who else is going to be on that checklist too? Will be interesting.
Definitely.
To see.
Well, we wanted
Billy McKinney.
Billy McKinney will probably. Well, actually, I think he was in. Oh, maybe he hasn't been in anything, has he?
No, he's in Sterling.
He's in Sterling.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and Cotto too. Cotto hasn't had a Bowman auto besides Sterling too, right? So they might use him somewhere. Right. But obviously, yeah, Appel and Chris Bryant are going to drive Bowman. I think Bowman is going to, just on those guys alone, is going to be a big success. So, but I wanted to give away a free spot in tomorrow's Magic Football Break. All you got to do is call in. I want you guys to go on cardboardtracker.com, and I want you to look at the 2013 Bowman Sterling Market Watch. And I want you to let me know what Archie Bradley's base auto price is, what his range is. So cardboardtracker.com and call in to 347-855-8815 is the number to call in to win. You win a spot in our Magic Football that's releasing tomorrow. We're doing a random style break of that. 347-855-8815. First to call in will win. So that's we already got somebody calling in here. 305, what's going on? Oh, they didn't want to talk to us. They didn't want to talk to us. Or they didn't have cardboardtracker.com up yet, so they hung up. So could have been the reason. Looks like we do have a 661 on hold. Let's see what's up with the 661. 661.
Oh, it's me. It's me, Ryan. I'm calling in. I recalled in from Skype because my Skype is back. So,
well, you won a spot, Topps Magic.
Do I win? Yes, I won. Bingo.
Our spot's still up for grabs. You'll have to share it with Ryan now, but you guys can flip the hits if you get something big, you know. And you know, if it's something big, Ryan's gonna probably want it in his buyback product. So. But if you call in to 347-855-8815, we got some callers here. Looks like 402.
Say hi.
Hi. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. It's my son, Jackson, that's going to tell you guys what the answer is.
Oh, okay. Hey, Jackson. Awesome.
The range is $7 to $10.
$7 to $10. Winner, winner. Ding, ding, ding. Jackson wins.
Awesome.
We'll put Jackson's name in the random. Thanks, Ryan.
Yep. Have a good night.
You too. Awesome. So, Ryan, Jackson's going to get some magic mojo tomorrow, so that'll be pretty cool.
Sounds
That was an interesting product last year. Remember all the Kaepernick autos that we were pulling?
Yeah. It was like kind of a mistake kind of type thing that went down.
It was kind of like they had extra stickers and they just threw them in there, and it just, at that point, Kaepernick was like blowing up. So it was like Topps was like, oh, we didn't expect, we could have probably held on to these and put it into another product, but that was crazy because it was they were selling for like $100-something out of the gate, and then the market kind of got flooded with them, and they went down to like $40-50. But it was just kind of crazy at that time when it was released. Kaepernick was killing it.
Yeah.
It's hard to kill it.
Yeah.
Hard to kill it now when you have a bunch of mediocre receivers. So, yeah. I'm not going to let it go, man. I'm not going to. At least you guys made it, though.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
At least you guys made it, though. You guys had a good run.
We did. When is the last time you guys been in the playoffs?
2002, maybe? Maybe three?
I remember that.
Pretty sure we still had Torrey Holt, and he was a young guy. It was early in his career.
And Isaac Bruce.
Bruce was there.
Falk, yeah, like you said.
Yep, Falk. I think Mark Bulger was there. Kurt Warner had already moved on to the Giants. Remember when Kurt Warner was on the Giants?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was kind of a flub, right? Or was he a backup there, or was he actually the starter? I can't remember.
He was a starter for about four games, and it was the year they drafted Eli Manning. And he started for about four games, and then they brought Eli Manning in.
Wow. Yeah. That was that trade where Eli Manning was drafted by the Chargers that year, and he said, I don't want to play for them because I hate them.
So, yeah, and then they traded him for Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
I almost said Ryan Leaf, but wrong era.
They're
wrong
kind of close,
wrong Chargers quarterback.
You imagine if you PC'd him? Ryan Leaf.
Well, Doug does. That's Doug's guy.
I got the rainbow.
Who's the worst player you've PC'd? I mean, the worst, like, turnout in terms of PC'ing?
Probably Gary Brown would rank up there top for me.
I think mine is Christian Cologne. Same school, same year drafted.
Yeah.
But Christian Cologne is probably my guy.
Michael Olcandy.
I knew you were going to say that. Michael Olcandy, because I remember you said you PC'd him. That guy had so much talent and so much promise, man. Kind of like Greg Oden or something, you know?
Can't beat 50 Cent autograph. 50 Cent autographs, man, you cannot beat that. I mean, it's the greatest, you know, best thing ever.
Is that what he's charging, or is that how much the cards are?
Probably couldn't even charge that much. I mean, but that's about how much you can get an autograph for. So it's great for me. I love it. I've got 50 of them. So
wasn't he the first pick in the draft for the Clippers?
Yep, number one pick, baby.
Was it like late 90s, like 99 or early 2000s?
98, yeah, 98, 99, I think. Yeah, 99. And then they were on strike. It was when they went on strike and stuff. So I'll blame that for derailing his career.
Who else was in that? It was like Stephon Marbury in that draft.
Really good players. Vince Carter, I think.
Vince Carter.
Dirk Nowitzki. Anton Jameson.
That's Asia all you Stoyakovich. Need right there.
Yeah. Really, Mike Bibby. Mike Bibby was in that draft.
Ooh,
really
Mike,
good draft.
Mike
actually.
Bibby. Yeah, that is a good draft. I mean, it all really starts with Jameson. I love Ant. Dude, that guy was a good warrior for a little while.
He was good.
He was good.
Yeah.
He's still playing for the – is he still with the Lakers?
He's with somebody. I can't remember.
I know he's still playing. I know last year he was with the Lakers.
Yeah. I can't remember who he was with now.
He wasn't bad. Yeah, that's a good draft. That's a
really
good
draft. Yeah, really good
Baby,
draft.
Baby was sick back in the day for the Kings.
Yeah, yes.
Baby,
speaking of Carter,
Baby,
that Vince Carter SP Authentic used to be worth like $250 or something. I remember people bringing them into the card shop I worked at during that time. I mean, Vince Carter's stuff blew up. With the dunk contest, the whole dunk contest thing, I mean, my God, his stuff was worth a lot of money back then.
And
not anymore, I guess.
He was drafted by the Raptors, right?
Yeah. Yeah, with Toronto, with T-Mac.
Yep. Yep. They were a pretty good
Crazy.
Team, too. That's like Doug. That's like the All-Magic team right there. That's right up Doug's alley. T-Mac and Vince Carter. Throw in who else play for the Magic?
Was Penny still there or not?
Jameer Nelson.
Yeah, Jameer Nelson. That's right. But they had another. They had another guard. Who was the other guy?
Penny.
It was
Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, was he gone? Is he gone?
He was gone. He was gone by then. It wasn't like B.J. Armstrong, but it was like a guy like B.J. Armstrong. Jameer Nelson, and there was another guard on that team.
I remember who you're talking about.
I can't think of his name.
He was a scrub.
But he was kind of a journeyman. He was like a sixth man for like a bunch of teams, and then that one year where the Magic was good, the year Dwight Howard was on that team. He was like a rookie or second year or something.
Sorry, I had some Skype issues there.
I know we're sitting here we're talking about the Magic, and it's like your forte. That's like what you're there for. And you were like, we're trying to come up with Magic players, and you're just nowhere to be found.
Magic Johnson?
Like Orlando Magic. You know,
that
your favorite
team.
Yeah,
yeah, Oladipo, baby. You talking about Nick Anderson, Penny Hardaway, Scott Skiles.
No. After that, Jameer Nelson, Dwight Howard.
Yeah, that was pretty much all they had for a little while. I mean, there was
you guys had another guard.
JJ Redick.
No.
Not JJ Redick. That's a baseball player. I haven't been keeping up with it. They're not on TV, unfortunately, anymore. So I've been watching a lot more Warrior games lately. But, I'm going to blank on it. I should know this, but I don't.
It's whatever year they made it to the finals when Dwight Howard was there.
Grant Hill was on that team, too. That was in 95. No, I think Brandon Bass
Courtney
at
Lee.
One point. Courtney Lee, there you
Courtney
go.
Courtney Lee, there we are. I was like... Wait, I'm just trying to stall the show a little bit.
Well, I'm trying to act like I know by getting on Google real quick, you know, and then trying to find this out, but it's taking me a lot longer than that. So Glenn
Big
Baby
Brandon
is a stud right now. He came from the Celtics.
I think Brandon Bass was on that team and Marcin Gortat maybe.
Yeah, Marcin Gortat was a backup to Dwight Howard. Then he got the starting gig and now he's in Phoenix. So
wasn't Brandon Bass like the backup to the backup?
He was, yep. The backup to his daddy was a backup too, yeah. but right now, I mean, they got some good young talent there. They have Tobias Harris is pretty sick. Aaron Aflalo has been playing pretty well. So, I mean, they're not really killing it in the win category right now. But Victor Oladipo is, you know, promising, so... They got some guys. Jameer Nelson's still there. Andrew Nicholson came in last year. Kylo Quinn. So they got a lot. Doran Lamb they got in that trade, too. So they got Doran Lamb and Tobias Harris. Mo Harkless. So lots of young guys.
If they're doing any better than 15 games under 500, they're probably in the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. So
it's true. You got to have like three wins.
I was looking at whoever was like – in the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference was like literally like 10 games below 500.
Yeah.
It was pretty ridiculous. So.
Donovan, you watch any basketball at all?
More college than pro.
Yeah. What do you think about some of the guys coming out of the draft? I mean, they're saying that next year's draft is going to be, like, freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be good for it'll be good for breaking next year, for sure.
Definitely.
All around. I mean, football, too. I mean, it's going to be – and baseball, the baseball class next year is going to be ridiculous, so –
Yeah, it's gonna and football with Manziel. I mean, card market's gonna be crazy next year.
Yeah.
which I, you know, I may have alluded to this on the show with last time. Yeah, I think so, and I probably brought it up a couple times. But I almost wish it was a bad year again. I mean, I know we don't want to hear that, like, but I think that would solve some of the problems that they have. But they're gonna be kind of blessed with all this great rookies that are gonna come out that they don't have to change anything, like overproduction on certain products. So. It's not going to change next year, but I would like them to implement some of the stuff that and cut out some products and not make as many as this product. I mean, look what Leaf's doing with the low print run and take some of that stuff and go, okay, if we just make less of this, it could sell for more, and then the values of the cards will go up, and we can put more content in it. So I just
Be careful what you wish for, because there's a chance that we all know what happened with Johnny Manziel and the whole autograph signing like fiasco. I mean, there's a chance that Johnny Manziel may look at Topps and Panini and the rookie premiere and go, I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah.
I'm not signing shit.
Yeah. Or he may go to, they might have like a Leaf, like a, instead of an Ichiro, they're going to have like a Johnny Manziel collection where it's like you get one Johnny Manziel auto and it's like a $700 box. Like Ichiro.
Before he even takes a snap in the NFL?
Yeah. Yeah, people
that
pay
would,
for
that
it.
That would be a bold product.
Very.
That would be kind of ridiculous.
That's kind of like the Lillards, though, right? I mean, you got to buy all that product to get a Lillard.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Blowout selling those packs for like $700. The Lillard pack.
And does it guarantee a Lillard auto?
Yes, it's either from Select, Gold Standard, or NT, and then there's one more set.
Okay, do they search them?
I heard they're all in magnetics. So they're all in magnetics. So. I heard that they're, you know, it's hard. I mean, I got the NT is probably going to be on a thicker magnetic, though. I don't know. I haven't seen a pack in person, but that's what that's what I've read.
Like the pack is in a magnetic, or
no, it's a magnetic card, and then they got the foil around it and everything. So,
oh, okay, so it's only one card.
One card is an auto every pack.
One card.
How does that work? Do they buy the cases and then they can turn around and sell the pack? You know, incentive to get people to buy cases?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I just saw it out for sale on their site, and I know that we had the opportunity. We just didn't want to dip back into the. You had to buy like a certain amount of old product, and then at a markup to get the UPCs, and then in turn send them into Panini for chances at these packs. So. We just kind of passed on it, but I know that there are some people that did take advantage, and obviously Blowout did, and maybe they lost money on the product, and they're figuring this is where they're going to make the money up on what the product they lost. I don't know.
But it's like the product you had to buy was, I mean, it was hard product to move. It was like the marquees and like the hoops and Intrigue, or I don't remember. There was like 85 basketball releases last year.
Pretty
ridiculous.
Yeah, so kind of crazy. So and actually, there's a few on eBay. There's like the NT number to 5. People are trying to get like 4,000 for them. So it's an NT.
Wow.
It's like a three color patch auto. and it's the NT design, so that's the one you want. And yeah, people are holding pretty steady on their price points on those.
Are they moving, or is that what they're asking for?
That's the, I haven't seen any sell NTs, but yeah, that's what they're asking. So what they're getting is going to be a different story.
Right.
Let's see if what they're selling for. So I think I asked you, are you planning on going to the summit this year, Donovan? Talked about it shortly.
Possibly. We'll see. See how it works out. But I think it would be a lot of fun to go.
Definitely.
Are you guys breaking there? Are you guys just taking it easy this time?
We're kind of still working on some things. We're definitely going to be breaking there either in our hotel room or on the floor. I think at least once on the floor we're going to do it. So, yeah, we will. We had a booth last time, but we're not going to go that route this time. But we're still working on some things. But we'll definitely be there, if not just to be in Vegas. I mean, that's a whole draw for me, just to go down to Vegas.
What Doug said, breaking from our hotel floor.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
On the floor, like the ground.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Ryan get some like crazy suite last year or something? Like, I remember him telling me something like that. But...
I had a nice suite. I do have nice rooms. It's too bad I can't go back to that this year. What's the summit thing you guys are talking about? Sounds like fun. Man, what a bummer.
Yeah, I just figured we'd just go right into it. We've been, you know, skirting around not talking about the summit, so I said, let's just go right into it. So, it's kind of crazy how some people aren't invited. So, like Leaf. Like, I like Leaf. I don't know why they can't go. It just kind of sucks. And our friend Ryan here. And so it's kind of a bummer. I want to hang out with Ryan. I want to hang out with everybody else and have a good time at the summit. But for some reason, they're not letting certain people go, and I don't get it. So,
really, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Ryan's he's just too good looking, and I think, you know, Kevin Isaacson and the Summit people, they just don't want him in there because just see they're threatened.
How old is his daughter? Because she's got a cute. He probably feels threatened by that I was going to jump his daughter, and, you know. Banger in the Palms Place suite. Excuse me. Sorry.
Oh.
So, now, you know, the whole thing's kind of, really screwy, really messed up. If anything, it'll motivate me to speak out more. You know, I read a whole blog that my brother found about a guy who worked in the licensing business for 15 years and literally wrote a whole blog about the whole category and how if you try to license a product like Panini and Topps do from one of these major sports teams, your life sucks. And your life sucks if you're trying to make mouse pads, let alone if you're trying to make all these products with autographs and retired players, and you also have to get a Players Association license, and on and on and on and down the line. When you hear some of these card companies talk about how complicated and hard it is, they're actually being somewhat honest, but that's their bad for being in that business. So it's a really tough business. They have to hit minimum. This is why they come out with so many products, because they have to hit minimum payments each year. If you think about it from the MLB's perspective or from the league's perspective, they want growth. They make you pay a minimum of your royalty each year, and it's usually 80%. And for somebody like Topps, that's going to be a pretty big chunk of change. And so if you miss your sales target, you still have to pay that 80% royalty. It's really a bad business that they're in, especially when you're getting autographs and you're having to deal with retired players and you're having to do cut signature cards and game used cards and all this stuff. It's gotten way too complicated. It was much easier back in the 90s. So really, really, really poor business. That's why you don't see a lot of people making very much money in this industry, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about those things, and that, you know, the fact that I'll put it to you like this. If Topps and Panini really cared about the value of your cards, they would stop making them. But they don't. They need to keep making more and more and more, and they actually need to grow. So they literally want to come out with more product.
Right.
It's all the way around.
But
it's
a
bad situation.
I don't know how much it costs for the license, but you just think with some innovations and charging more on certain products that they could add more value. It seems like they've lost their creativity. Now, I know the license is a lot and they have to hit those goals, like you said, but it's just that some of the products that have come out, there's just no innovation. They just do the same thing every year. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, charge me $40 more for, this product if I'm going to get, one of these type of guys in every box or something like that, where you have better ratios of hitting something if you charge me a little bit more. It just seems like there's so many more things they could do, but they've just kind of rested on their laurels for the last five or so years.
Here's a good one for you guys, and Doug and Dan, you'll appreciate this. All of the leagues, NHL, NBA, MLB, they charge an extra 3% on the royalty for going through a distributor. And if you kind of work that through your brain, you'll see why they charge an extra percentage to go through a distributor. These card companies, they don't print the cards themselves. They talk about these printing production facilities. Those are all third-party. They print all kinds of other crap, too, throughout the day. And Panini just gets a little slot. It's all vendors. All the technology on the cards, it's all vendors. Literally, they leave themselves with customer service and marketing. Literally. That's like all a little bit of card design. That might even be third-partied out as well. So it's just – but they don't want you to – nobody wants you to know that. They don't want you to know
those things. Well, I'm assuming they have to purchase – you see a lot of times – that they use the same photo in different sets, like literally the same photo will be in.
Oh yeah,
Top
that's
Chrome,
just the same
draft. Yeah,
that's just being cheap and lazy and saving money. That's all. That's literally all that is. There's a huge quality assurance process. They have to approve all these cards, and there's like 4 month, 6 month lead time on all this stuff. That's why the card images never change. That's why when a guy gets traded, he's still on his former team's uniform until 6 months later, because the league wants to approve every single card. They want to make sure every logo's right and the colors look right and the image looks right. They have to do that with, Nike jerseys and New Era hats and all this stuff, and they treat baseball cards the exact same way. It's a disastrous process. It's a really poor business, and it's not even a huge percentage of the league's revenue. The leagues make most of the money from television. So this licensing stuff, yeah, it's good money, but when you break it out per team, it's not very much money. And then when you break it down to baseball cards, you could stop making baseball cards and you literally wouldn't even make a ripple into, anybody's business. The MLBs, Target, anybody who sells cards, it wouldn't even be a ripple, in the market if they literally just stopped making these cards. So that's why I'm always trying to be at, because I'm like, hey, we got to say something because this is a really poor business. Not that many people collect this stuff. We've got to speak up and change some things and change maybe the way you do business and maybe do more direct sales, Tops to customer sales, Tops to group breaker sales. Open up those lines of communication. You might be able to get product cheaper. You might be able to get product in and out more efficiently. I have a lot of ideas, but people don't like to. People don't like to hear them, especially on Twitter. That's where I like to go. I guess they don't really see some of the stuff that I do on my website to promote cards. But that's one thing that I think is frustrating.
I always wonder where things would be if breaking never came around. How bad would it be?
Yeah. I think it would be bad right now because I think it's gotten to the point where you're crowdsourcing the box price. So it's gotten to that point where people can't afford boxes, but this is a really good way to to kind of cost effectively, but and it's fun. It's also fun and entertaining to watch the breaks online and stuff. So, I see it as a positive, as a short-term positive. I'm thinking about 5 years from now, what is it going to look like? Are people going to get tired of breaks?
Yeah.
And then what happens? What do you do? You know, what happens then? Does it become too expensive to be in a break?
Yeah, definitely concerns that I've thought about too. I mean, that's why I want to see some more innovations. Maybe they can, whoever's in charge of somewhat design or input, like incentive-based bonuses if things sell out or something, you know, something to motivate these guys to more acquisitions, get some, I don't know, just something to kind of light up. Any out of the two that do have the license, they try a little bit more than Topps does. They try to innovate more things, I've seen, with their products, and Topps just kind of makes the same product and they do less innovation, but Topps makes more money on the secondary market, so they probably feel they don't have to do it. But I would like to see some more creativity, and it doesn't happen.
I got a question. Since we're talking about like the industry stuff, I haven't had a chance to even talk to Ryan about this. So, were you told that you cannot go to the industry summit?
I just basically got a form email back saying that if I wanted, I can come this year if I wanted to sign up, contact him after a certain day. It was kind of more of a form letter. I emailed him back, and I never got anything back. I'm assuming, I mean, I read the lawsuit, I guess, that Brian Gray filed against them. I don't have any plans on suing anybody. I think people could work things out like man to man. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the better way to go. And we're talking about cards here. So, and
oh,
I've supported his event in the past. So you could probably Google certain things and, oh, there's my website writing about his event. So,
I've in the last 2 years, I've hung out with you for a majority of the time that we were there. And, you know, I'm reading what you're saying, and I would say majority of what you put out there reporting on this event is positive. Like, I mean, you're basically reporting what you're seeing. And you weren't, at no point did I ever think you were being excessively, like, negative about anything. So I just don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, by you reporting on it, you're doing nothing but good for the industry summit in general. You're making people aware of it. You're people who can't be there, they can follow you on Twitter and see what the guys in the industry, what these manufacturers in the industry are actually talking about. What's the overall feeling of the industry? How's the market going? What's the new ideas that they're coming up with? And you were just giving the collector an outlook, like basically an insight of what was happening. And if anything, you were helping out more than you were doing anything else. So did he say anything in particular, like what it was, or?
Me and Kevin have had, he pulled me out of a conference last year and, you know, he kind of said the same thing you just said, you know, hey, you had about 700 tweets. I took issue with these two things. It sounds just funny talking about, you know, getting butthurt over Twitter, to be perfectly honest. It's like, dude, have you ever been to my website? Like, man, you know, it's hard pressed to find something negative on my website. I don't know. I think there's just a big disconnect, because I'm just coming at it from a totally different angle. Other people that cover the hobby or do media or whatever it is, you know, some of these people rely on the industry for a check. I've worked very hard in the last several years to make sure that wasn't the case. because I keep seeing the industry decline. So I'm like, wow, I don't want to rely on an industry that's declining. I need to get somewhere else.
Right.
So it's put me in a position. It's put me in a position to where I'm like, hey, then now I can say whatever I want. And that's, you know, I just have to deal with that. I just have to live with that. I don't even think, even if he called me tomorrow and said, hey, you can come, I've got a spring training trip. My brother's getting married. I've got a bunch of people coming in literally probably that week. So I'm probably actually out as it is. But I'd still like to talk to him and get an explanation, because it seemed like Brian Gray got a little bit more. And obviously he pays way more money than I do and uses that event for his business way more than I do. And that's a shame that he can't go, because, you know, you guys open his products all the time. And people generally, whenever I'm watching your guys' break, it seems like you're doing some kind of leaf, the jerseys or you know, the repack stuff. And stuff is coming out of there that's good. And the fact that he can't go or may not be able to go, I don't know what's going to happen with this legal thing. I had somebody kind of advise me that, you know, it's a private event and good luck trying to sue the guy. You're going to blow some of Isaacson's money, which sounds good to me, but, you know, I don't see where he really has kind of a legal standing. You know, it's not a public event. You got to pay $400 to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Donovan, you know, I think you were about to
point.
I was going to say.
Oh, go ahead, Donovan.
We're running close on time, so I know Donovan wanted to say something before we go.
Yeah, I forgot.
No worries, man. Well, I wanted to at least, you know, before we go, we'll continue this summit talk for the 3 minutes we have, but I wanted to let everybody know about CardboardTracker.com and follow you at TrackCards on Twitter, and we'll be doing more things with you as well. So I wanted to thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always great to talk to you guys.
Definitely, man. Thank you. And we'll talk to you later. Take care.
All right. See you later. Take it easy. Bye.
So, yeah, we got about 3 more minutes. I wanted to, tell everybody about the awesome site again. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a weird scenario. And I don't know. With the Brian Gray situation, I don't know what to think on it. I'd like to see him there. I like his products. But we'll see. Time will tell. As it gets closer to March 19th, we'll see what happens.
I don't think nobody.
You guys should just blow up Twitter. Just start tweeting.
I think I'm gonna have to do it. I'm gonna have to try to fill Ryan's shoes. I'm just gonna sit there and just get my tweet on.
You don't even know how to tweet, man. You use like the two fingers when you're tweeting.
Yeah, my phone doesn't do that. I guess it does, but I'm more of a MySpace guy. I'm just trying to hold on to it.
Maybe you should link out your MySpace account so that everybody can follow you on there.
I don't think people actually follow you.
I think or like you or add you as a friend.
Like
maybe?
Me? No, add me as a friend.
Yes.
Being my top eight.
What is it? MySpace.com.
Top eight. I remember that. Oh, man.
It's like / Sam Bradford's hair part. Is that what it is? Sam Bradford's hair part is your account?
No, remember when MySpace was popular, like the top eight or top 10 was like a big deal?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yep. People get butthurt.
Like, yep. What, I'm out of your top 10?
Well, we have like 30 seconds left, so I will...
That's a hell of a way to... Hell of a way to end the show.
Yeah, follow Dan on MySpace. All right, well, that was a great show. Thank you, guys. We'll continue more Summit Talk as it gets closer and things develop. And, you know, we'll be there. Well, at least I think we will. Maybe not anymore. But we'll see you guys there. Make sure you check out mojobreak.com. We got 4 breaks tomorrow, all 4 sports. Get yourself some. Mojobreak.com. And check out sportscardradio.com and Cardboard Tracker. if you're thinking about prospecting, great database of knowledge there. So we're out for tonight, and we will see you guys again next week. Peace out. Go Broncos.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.